لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله حبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه وياسين، والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدي على أعدائي أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم قرآن المجيد، وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، والذين كفروا أولياءهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات، أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل
محمد. الحمد لله، and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has given us the opportunity to, amongst the believers and followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and this ni'mah and this tawfiq to commemorate the aza of Imam Hussein alayhi as-salam and grieve on the tragedy of Karbala is a tawfiq, is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which has been bestowed upon us. Because in the tragedy of Karbala, in the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the shahada of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companion, there is a life in it. A person who is dead can come into life if the person goes through the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and ponder on the event of Karbala. That person can revive himself, revive herself, revive that dead heart which that person has, can revive his thinking pattern, his dead mind. All those things can be revived with the dhikr Imam Hussein alayhi salam. By remembering Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his great sacrifices. We won't find any religion, those who are the established religions like the Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, or any other so-called associated religions, those people who associate themselves with so-called God or the Creator, according to Islam, they are amongst the mushrikeens. Whosoever call himself that he is related to some metaphysical creator, you won't find any other religion, and in that religion any sect who has that opportunity to have a continuous guidance, which doesn't have any break in it. There is no pause in it. On one hand, we have Quran, Kitabullah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the light and guidance from Him to the entire mankind. Hudan linnas. Quran is not only for Muslims. Quran is for all. Hudan linnas. That is the book of guidance to entire mankind. Not for restricted to one era or the other, to one area or the other, for all times, for all periods, for all era, for all people. It's Hudan linnas. It's an absolute guidance for entire mankind to come till the day of judgment. And on the other hand, a continuous examples, practical examples and role models are over there for us to guide us, to teach us, to groom us, to tame us, to train us. And those are the prophets and the 14 infallibles, 12 Imams, and Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alayha. Qal Rasul Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
So the continuous guidance. A question comes, everyone doesn't believe in 12 Imams as their guides, as their masters. Yes? The same question arises about Quran, that everyone doesn't believe in Quran. But still the answer is same, whether a person believes it or not. The Book of Allah is the guidance for entire mankind. Whether a person believes in Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam or not, they are guidance for the entire mankind and not only for a group of people. They are guidance. Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His prophets for the entire mankind, especially the last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Kindly recite a salawat like a awakened people's. Salawat Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad. Yes. So at least I will come to know that I am speaking to the people who are, you know, awake, and they are over here and listening. As the book of Allah is over there, Allah has sent the Holy Prophet as a rahmatan lil alameen, blessing for the universe, entire universe, for all the worlds. So as the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not only the guidance or the guide for Muslims, but for the all the mankind, for all the times, for all the periods, for all the era, for all the places, but he is also the guidance for the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah said rahmatan lil alameen, that I have sent you as the rahmah, as the blessing for the entire universe. And these imams, who are they? They are been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the successors of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the successor of the Holy Prophet, one after another. And the same blessing as Allah has been given to the Holy Prophet, and the same responsibility which was being given to him, the same and similar responsibility has been put on the shoulders of these 12 imams. That as he was the rahmatan lil alameen, as the Quran is hudan lin nas, these 12 infallible imams are also hudan lin nas and rahmatan lil alameen. They are the guidance for all entire mankind, all the creations rather. They are not limited, they are not the imams for those people who claim to be their followers only. We claim, they take us, they accept us as their followers or not, is something different. But yes, we claim and we like to be the true followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So we have to understand the position and status which Allah has given to them and elevated them to the level of Quran. إني تركت فيكم الثقلين كتاب الله وعترتي أهل بيتي. That they are parallel. They complement each other. The famous hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, he says, علي مع القرآن والقرآن مع علي. عَلِيٌّ مَعَ الْحَقِّ وَالْحَقُّ مَعَ عَلِيٍّ عَلِيٌّ مَعَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْحَقِّ وَالْحَقُّ وَالْقُرْآنُ مَعَ عَلِيٍّ حَيْثُ دَارٍ. There are three hadiths which I narrated. Number one, عَلِيٌّ مَعَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ مَعَ عَلِيٍّ, that Ali is with Qur'an and Qur'an is with Ali. And another hadith, that عَلِيٌّ مَعَ الْحَقِّ وَالْحَقُّ مَعَ عَلِيٍّ, that Ali is with truth and truth is with Ali. And the third hadith which says Aliun ma'al haqqi wal Quran, or maybe it's Aliun ma'al Quran wal haqq, that Ali is with Quran and with haqq, and haqq and Quran is with Ali. And if you are confused and we are not able to identify that what Quran is saying, where is truth? Don't be confused. Just see and look where that Ali is going. where that Ali is going. Because Ali is the mizan. As been in the hadith been said, نَحْنُ مَوَازِينُ الْقِسْطِ. That Imam says that we are the mawazin, we are the scales, we are the parameters of qist. Qist, that is justice. If you want to achieve the justice, if you want to acquire and seek justice, Ahlul Bayt, Imams, are the mawazin and parameters to gauge that who is correct, who is right and who is not. So if we want to gauge truth and haq and would like to know that what is the tafsir and explanation and description of Quran, then look towards Ali. Look towards Ali. And the hadith, a famous hadith, has been quoted and narrated by all Muslims, Shia and Sunnah, both. An-nawar ila wajhul Ali ibadah. That looking to the face of Ali is ibadah. In one of the narrations, been narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam was been accompanied by one of his companions, that is Hazrat Salman al-Farsi. And they were crossing from the valley of Namal, Wadi Namal, valley of ants. Has been said that it was the same valley from where Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam passed. And when he was passing, ants said to each other, go into, hide yourself, because the army of Suleiman is coming and they won't able to look and care about you, and you will be killed under the feet of their horses. But when Imam Ali was crossing that valley and passing through that, Hazrat Salman al-Farsi saw that the ants are starting coming out from their, what you say, holes. And there were thousands and hundreds of thousands of ants were being there. And he was surprised. Hazrat Salman Farsi said, all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows the number of these ants. There were so many that they were countless. Imam Ali answered, Salman, no. You should say that all praises to Allah, who is the creator of these ants. The number of ants, we people, we also know with the knowledge of Allah which Allah has given to us. They were that level that we cannot even understand them perfectly. Their knowledge, the purity, their depth cannot be understood. Last night has been narrated that from Imam alayhi salam, that he said that the Quran has 70 levels of depth. One cannot understand Quran just by reading its translation. It's the first and just the surface of it. That's it. We have to ponder and go through it. And of course, for that, prerequisites are there to learn and how to ponder, how to think, all those things. But of course, it is possible. But it has depth. Similarly, as the Quran has the depth, the Imam and his teaching has also the same level of depth. We cannot take the sayings and sayings of Imam just like that and just interpret it. We have to understand it. We have to translate it in the light of Quran, in the light of that era. That's how this interpretation or this saying of Imam alayhi salam will be implemented in our times. One of the Mufassireen of Quran is Hazrat Ayatullah Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, was the Mufassir of Tafsir al-Mizan. He said that Quran should be explained every 10 or 20 years. In the accordance to the need which people have, because our intellect, our thoughts cannot go far. We can look maybe 5 years ahead, maybe a 10 years ahead, not more than that. It's too much, but I'm saying, because we all see the governments make policies and they amend every few months. Although the brains are over there sitting, there are think tanks of each category, and each are like in economics and banking and politics and I don't know, different things, aspects, education and technology. They have every country, every nation has these think tanks. They think about it, they give the policies, they make the policy, and then we see that after so many and so many hundred of hours, human hours spending and making policies, they have been changed frequently. Our foresight is not very, very good. We cannot, because we do not have the knowledge, we cannot look ahead. So when the things appears, so we have to interpret Quran again in the light of Quran and the light of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. An expert is required to interpret and give his research to us so we can practice in accordance to that. So Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam has a similar thing, and it's as we need, as when Quran has been said, that to understand, to even go close to the Quran, a person needs purity to understand Quran. In one of the verses, it's been said, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَحِّرُونَ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَحِّرُونَ. No one can touch Quran. Right time, the touching of Quran is like this, keeping in our, taking in our hands. It has been asked that it is advisable, it is mustahab, that if you are taking Quran in your hands, touching its hawashi, it's something outside, not the content and writing, it's mustahab, ablution. And if someone is touching the words of Quran, then he must have wudu. It is also mustahab that if someone wants to recite Quran, that person has wudu and purity. There is something which is zahir, which is something which is physical and something apparent and obvious. But there is something to understand Quran, we need the purity. As we require the physical purity to touch the physical verses and words of Quran, to understand its meaning, we need to have that purity to understand the Quran and its tafsir and its explanations. As we require the purity to come close to the Quran and to understand its teaching, the similarities over there, to understand and to come close to Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we need the inner purity. A person cannot come close to Ahlul Bayt until that person acquires that required purity. If someone needs wuzu, that person takes the wuzu. If someone needs ghusl, that person takes the ghusl to touch the Quran. That is something which is zahir. But to understand Quran, the purity that is taqwa is required. When the Quran says that it is hudan lil nas, that's for the entire nation. The other place says hudan lil muttaqeen. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة. Although Quran in Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they are for the entire mankind, for all the worlds, they are the guide for entire nations, for the entire mankind, for all the era, for all the time, for all the people, regardless they are believers or they are non-believers, even if they are the people who curse, the atheists, these type of people, kuffar, infields, even Quran is for them as well. Ahlul Bayt are guide for them as well. So Allah has put this quality into these two to be the guide. But who will get the benefit out of it? Those who will believe in it. Those who will come close to it. And to come close, a person should have taqwa. Hudan lil muttaqeen. That this guidance of Quran and this guidance of Ahlul Bayt and this guidance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this guidance of the event of Karbala and the sacrifice of Aima alayhi salam, the sacrifices which was been given by Imam Ali, the sacrifice which was been given by Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the sacrifice which was been rendered by Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions, the sacrifices which was been given by other imams which came after him, the sacrifice which was been given by Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alayha, the sacrifice which was been given by the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his progeny. We cannot get its benefit. We cannot be enlightened ourselves with all these things until and unless we come closer to them. And person cannot come closer to them until that person gets taqwa. As been said for the kitab, for the Quran, that it is hudan lil muttaqeen. For the Imam Ali alayhi salam, has been said imamul muttaqeen. He's imam for all. Quran is guidance for all. But those who will get the benefit out of it, to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are those who are from among the muttaqeens. Muttaqeens. It's not, my dear, that we say just by taking the name and just ritually commemorating Aza or Milad, we will be becomes the followers. Following them required dedication, required knowledge, required practice and acknowledgement. Hudan lil muttaqeen. So imams, we can become their followers if we comes into the category of muttaqeen. أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. If you are among these categories, at that time we can claim that we are their followers. But before there, no. It's difficult to claim ourselves to be their followers. Muttaqeen. Who are muttaqeen? الذين يؤمنون بالغيب. They believe in ghaib, unseen. Atheists say we can't see, so we won't believe. We can't see, we won't believe. I'm not discussing about the tawheed, but just to give you that hint about it, that we should ponder that aspect, that do we perform everything because of some reason behind it, or there are many things which we perform in our daily life is because of our lust, wishes, no reason behind it, no logic behind it, but we perform it. So it's not that men perform everything very rational and logical. But over here, Allah is saying that muttaqi is someone who believes in unseen, believes in ghaib. But he is not asking us to believe without any reasonable and without any rational. Yes, we have to go and study about that rational. Even 2 + 2 has its rational. Now for us, 2 + 2, we think, no, there is nothing. It's just 2 + 2 = 4. That's it. No. Everything has its rational. Regardless we can understand that rational or not. Whether we can understand that reason behind it or not. So sometimes, or rather we can say, most of the times, because we are unable to understand those reasons, we deny that. We say, no, there is no God. There is no Allah. So one of the basic things to get and to have the blessings of Allah, not only in this world, but also hereafter. Hereafter. Because Allah will bless each and everyone, regardless that person is believer or not. Allah will bless that person in this world. And one of the du'as of Imam Sayyidul Sajideen, Zainul Abideen, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam, he says, Ya man arjuh li kulli khayr wa amanu sakhatu inda kulli shar. يا من يعطي الكثير بالقليل يا من يعطي من سأل يا من يعطي من لم يسأله ومن لم يعرفه تحننا منه ورحمة أعطني بمسألتي إياك جميع خير الدنيا وجميع خير الآخرة. Imam in this dua, Imam says, O Allah, you are the one who give your blessings and bounties to those people who do not believe in you. They do not even ask from you. They don't ask from you. They don't believe in you. But still you give to them. And I am the person who believe in you and ask from you. So how can you come? You cannot give to me. Is this part of it? That Allah gives to everyone. in Surah Baqarah. From verses 124 onwards, where Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the help of his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, rebuild the Kaaba. And after that, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam raise his hand and offer dua and seek safety and prosperity for the people who live around the Kaaba, for those people who are the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believers in the Day of Judgment. Hazrat Ibrahim asked Allah's blessings and bounties for the people who are the believers. And Allah replied, and Allah said, no, my blessings and bounties will be extended not only to the believers, but also to the non-believers as well. The question comes in our minds that how come that, what is the difference? Then why a person should be a believer? Why a person should take that all that difficulties and problems and practice according to Quran and Islam and do this thing and do not perform that thing, that is haram, that is halal, this is right, this is wrong. Why all those things? When Allah is going to give His blessings and bounties to believers and non-believers both, then the following verse give this answer to us. But the blessings and bounties which will be given to infidels will be limited to this world. That, yes, the blessings will be given to them. There will be, bounties will be showered on them, but limited to this world. But the believers will be, get the benefit not only in this world, but also hereafter. And at that time, those infidels will be taken to the fire of hell. That is the biggest difference. Quran is the, Islam is the only religion which give a complete vision, world vision, that our life is not limited to this world, that we live for 50, 60, 70, 80 years and that's it. No. The world view of Islam is that our life continues. We will be dead, but not finished. We will be dead, that we will be transferred from this world to the next, but we will be living. We will be alive as we are alive in this world. We will be living in our graves. We will be living in barzakh. We will be living after that, regardless where we are living, in hell or in paradise. But we will be living. خَالِدُونَ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ فِيهَا. So when Allah has given life, He is not going to take us back. Yes, we will be transferred from this world to the next. So the world view of Islam, that life is not limited to this world. And these verses of Surah Baqarah from verse number 124 onwards, it explains that the world view, correct your vision, correct your thought, correct your mindset, and then according to that, make your objectives and try to achieve your goals. Of course, if I want to go only 100 miles from here, I will time myself according to that. the things, the food, the water, provision, I will take according to that. Okay, just 100 miles, just a bottle of 500 ml will be enough for me, or tea or coffee, whatever it is. That's it. But if we want to go from this part, maybe to Seattle, I don't know, maybe Toronto, maybe somewhere, some 1,000 miles, 5,000 miles, 10,000 miles, then what we'll do? We'll pack our bags. We need clothes, we need food, we need this, that. We will check our wallets. We have the cards, credit cards. We have enough money. We have this, we have that. Why? We haven't prepared like that for that 100-mile traveling. As we are preparing ourselves for the 1,000 or 10,000 miles traveling. We prepare ourselves according to the place we want to go, the place we want to travel. So if we think that we are going to live only in this world, we will work only for this world and according to that. We will plan for our 60, 70, 80 years of life. That's it. But if we are planning not to live in this world only, but to live in the next world, that is hereafter, so we will plan and act according to that. Our world view and our world vision is very limited. That's why our objectives are incorrect. And because our objectives are incorrect, our actions are also inappropriate. Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam open our minds and tell us that you are not being made only for this world. Rather, you have been made for the next world. So if you able to testify yourself the way Allah wants to test you and judge you and examine you, and as the Allah wants us to be His obedient servant, we will be traveling not only in this world with prosperity, but we will be traveling in high speed in next world as well. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, with his sacrifices, and his companion with his their sacrifices, has shown us the path, the vision, the world vision with clarity. Take the example of Hazrat Hur ibn Riyahi. What a wonderful example we have in this event. Hazrat Hur was the person who stopped the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when they were heading towards Kufa. You all remember. But just to remind ourselves again and again, so we can learn new lessons, or remind ourselves, keep reminding ourselves that who we are, what we are we the true followers or not? Are we following the footsteps of Imam Hussain alayhi salam or not? Are we amongst the muttaqeen or not? At the stage, Hazrat Hur stopped his caravan and said that you are not allowed to go ahead. But you know what happened? When Hazrat Hur was coming, like any other army, some of them were on horses and some other were just on their feet walking. When they reached over there, those who were on their feet and those, even those who are on their horses, back of their horses, all then they all were thirsty. And it was Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he saw that these people are coming, they are thirsty. They asked his companions, his brother, the first thing is that give water to them. Water to them. What give water to the animals? And even pour some water on the feet of the animals because they have been traveling a long way to come to us. And that was that incident been narrated, that there was a person in the horse army who was so thirsty that he could not even walk, so he was crawling. He was crawling. Imam saw that person. He went himself to him and offered water to him. But he was so much weak that he could not even able to drink by himself. So you know what Imam did? So Imam poured water with his own hands into his mouth. This was Imam Hussein's character. Imam Hussein's character. Although some of the companions were saying, Imam, we have children with us, we have women with us. If the water will finish, then what? He said, no, they are thirsty, give them water. And this was the same person who died thirsty in Karbala. He was the same person whose family, whose children were crying on that day. Alatash, Alatash, oh thirst, oh thirst. But there was no one over there to give them water. And Hazrat Hur saw this event and he was surprised. He came to Amr ibn Sa'd. He said, we were not supposed to do these things. We were not supposed to close the supplies of water to the camps of Imam Hussain al-Islam. We were not supposed to kill the son of Fatima, the daughter of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was never been decided. How come you have decided like this? He said, no, I have no choice. I have no choice. It's that Imam, that Hussein ibn Ali give his allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah, or we will cut his head from his body. Hazrat Hur went back to his camp, and all night in that anxiety he was walking from one place to other in his camp. His son, his slave came to him and said, what happened? Why you are so much angry and so much in anxiety? Say, these people want to kill Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the son of Fatima. It's not going to happen. I cannot do this thing. What I will do on that day of judgment when Hazrat Fatima will come and ask me that, Hur, why you block the way of my son?